Once again, on this Tuesday afternoon, we are talking travel with the travel mum, Andrea Bailey, who's with us in the studio, looking at a fabulous trip to Singapore that the whole family would enjoy. We've looked at the zoos, we've looked at, you know, the great rides that you can go on Sentosa. Let's maybe look at something might be more adult-orientated, but I'm sure some of the kids would like it, and that's the Singapore Science Centre. What can we see there?
Yes, yeah, so this is probably for the kids that love science, of course. You've got more than 1,000 interactive exhibits, which are, you know, spanning about 14 galleries. So this is really interesting for the aspiring Newtons and Einsteins.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
All right.
They can do things like trek to the center of the Earth through a crack in the surface and, you know, just find out the different layers that lie beneath. So it's really interactive. It's fun for the kids and mm-hmm. it gets them involved.
All right. Yeah. So that's Singapore Science Centre. Mm-hmm. There's also a Natural History Museum as well.
That's right. Now, this is interesting because this opened in May of 2015, so it's quite new.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best museums to visit because it's got real dinosaur fossils as well.
Right.
There's three long-necked, how do you say this, Diplodocus dinosaurs.
I know them well.
So, and they've actually got names. They've got, you know, the names of Prince, Apollonia and Twinkie, which is quite cute, I think. And apparently they roamed the planet, 150 million years ago, and they're the star attractions of this museum. So this would definitely be recommended for families.
Prince, Apollonia and Twinkie. Don't miss them if you're going to Singapore. That'll be the highlight of your trip. Now, Clarke Quay, there's another kind of really happening place, you know, lots of restaurants, bars. And it's a very bubbly nightlife there.
It is. It's actually one of the most interesting places for nightlife and for just a good evening out, really. That's where you can hop on a little boat, go on a little, you know, cruise down and see the Marina Bay Sands Hotel and the Merlion that's positioned there.
Yeah.
They've got, I mean, it's really nice because when the lights come on and, you know, the sun has set, then the restaurants come to life and it's all buzzing. You've got lots of waterfront restaurants that you can actually choose from. So lots of seafood, of course, for those that like it. So it's amazing. Yeah.
Okay, that's a goodie then. Clarke Quay, you don't want to miss out on that. You can also jump on a boat, can't you, and head out to a neighbouring island.
Yes, so Pulau Ubin is one of the popular little islands that are positioned just off the main Singapore island, of course. And this is where you would take the ferry from the Changi Point ferry terminal. Just go there. And it's nice because you can just hop on a cycle, go around the island. It's like a step back in time. And it's, you know, it's not a big city feel at all, of course. It's like in a little village, you know, and you're just kind of in this little place. And they've got mangroves and wetlands and it's little villages there as well. So it's really interesting.
Any other islands?
Yes, now the Lazarus Island, it's actually quite a popular one because it's voted to have the best beach in Singapore.
Yeah.
So it's popular with the locals, of course. So if you're going on a public holiday, you probably won't get a leg in there. But if it's not, of course, if it's, you know, a little bit off season, you could actually visit without having the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So there's a bit of island hopping that you can do. Let's take a look at planning an actual trip and, you know, good time of year to go. And also, what would appeal for mum, dad and the rest of the family?
Yeah, so Singapore is a great place. Again, it's a year-round destination. You don't really have to think twice about it. July, August, you would have passing showers, but nothing that could, you know, stop the show for you. So you can pretty much go any time of the year. Mm-hmm. If you're going in peak season, of course, the recommendation is to book way in advance because then you avoid all the, you know, the rush, the hikes and airfares and your hotel prices.
Yeah.
Singapore in general is a bit expensive, but if you do plan ahead, you can actually do a trip on a good budget as well.
Right. So let's take a look at, there's quite a bit of sporting activity as well. I mean, famous for the nighttime Grand Prix.
That's right. So Singapore Grand Prix, it's always in September and it's really, you know, it's been there since 2008. You've got a lot of the Formula One fans that head out there. So this is something that's on their calendar and, you know, visitors of all ages can be seen. So it's really fun because the twisty Marina Bay Circuit has remained unchanged and you can actually have a lot of fun looking at the views of Singapore in the night because of the, you know, floodlights that are on as well.
Yeah, that's a goodie. Rugby Sevens as well.
Yes, so the World Rugby Sevens in fact is happening and on the 16th and 17th of April this year.
So I'll have to be pretty quick to catch that. And Dragon Boat Festival as well.
Yes, of course. So this is where you would actually go in and see a lot of the, you know, the dragon boats that are having the contest there. That's normally held in July.
Yeah,
that's happening this year as well. So yeah.
Okay, so, you know, things there that would definitely appeal to dad and maybe the older brothers. Shopping, a big deal in Singapore.
Yes, it is. You've of course got your budget shopping, like I mentioned, in Little India and Chinatown, but The Orchard Road is where a lot of the action happens in terms of shopping as well. You've got the shopping malls, so people just, you know, go in and it's shop till you drop.
Mm-hmm.
The Great Singapore Sale is another big event that happens, and it will be happening from the 3rd of June until the 14th of August this year. So that's another, you know, good time to go if you're planning on doing some heavy shopping.
Yeah, here, you get some bargains in that for sure. And there's a food festival as well in July, isn't there?
That's right. The Singapore Food Festival, which is, of course, an amazing event to go for if you love your food and you love different cuisines. This is happening in July and August.
Right. Now, when it comes to getting there, let's delve into that. What would you recommend there, Andrea?
For direct flights, and I always recommend this with smaller children, of course, you have connectivity with Emirates. You've got Singapore Airlines, which is great because it's a night flight. You get in on, you know, on the plane at 8 p.m. and it's, you get there at 7 a.m. in the morning. It's amazing. And, of course, Etihad from Abu Dhabi. So these will be priced around, I would say, about 2,000 dirhams per adult.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you don't want to spend that kind of money and you want looking at, a stopover with, you know, with a one-stopover flight, you have the options of Qatar Airways and Jet, of course, through Doha and Delhi.
Okay. All right, that's cool. Then accommodation-wise, have we got, a good range, or is it all pretty much high-end?
No, in fact, Singapore has, an accommodation to suit any budget, I would say, any budget. So even if you're going in as a student, you would find accommodation and it wouldn't break the bank. You've got hotel apartments and serviced apartments where if you're not keen on the breakfast and you're okay with having breakfast outside, they're fine for you.
So
some of the recommendations in the budget accommodations would be, say, the Hotel Kai, for example, or L Residence, or even Ibis Singapore, Ramada Singapore. You'd be paying approximately about 400 dirhams per night, give or take.
Okay.
So, yeah, for a family.
That's quite affordable. And then, of course, you have got some amazing luxury top-ender hotels.
Absolutely, yes. So it really is actually well known for its luxury brand hotels. You've got the Ritz-Carlton, and these are really iconic buildings because some of them, like the Fullerton, are actually, old buildings that they have reconstructed and, just worked. It's a hotel now.
Yeah.
So it's really amazing, and it's like a heritage hotel. The Capella Hotel, Sentosa is famous, the Shangri-La, the Four Seasons, Mandarin Oriental, of course, Conrad, Raffles. These are some of the best hotels there.
Mm-hmm. And in the luxury segment. You'd be paying a pretty penny for those.
Yeah, going up from approximately 900, 950 a night. Dirhams. Yeah.
Okay, gastronomy, when it comes to food, top of the list has got to be chili crab, hasn't it? That's kind of the thing that you must try.
Absolutely. And I think when I went there, somebody recommended the Newton Hawker Center. And you think hawker center, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? But when we got there, it was so interesting because it's all these little shops that are kind of laid out around the square, and you have all the tables in between, so you can actually walk around, choose the restaurant you want, a little hawker shop that you want to eat from, and then order your food, and they have it on the table and it's steaming hot, and it's an amazing experience. So definitely chili crab, pepper crab, that I would recommend. So do try the Newton Hawker Center. It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you've got your fine dining restaurants, and they're positioned all over the city. One of the ones that I would recommend on the Raffles Avenue, if you're there, is the Labyrinth Restaurant. This is actually a self-taught chef owner. This is only about 18 months old, actually.
Okay.
And again, his specialty is chili crab, but if it's in a different, he makes it differently. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, with a bit of style, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, finally, a couple of top tips for us while we're there, Andrea. What would you recommend?
Yes, so I mentioned earlier, if you're interested in doing all of the parks and, that sort of activity, then you would definitely have to use or should use the Park Hopper card.
Yeah.
Because you would save a lot on your tickets. And, of course, tax refunds for the mums that want to shop. Look for the sign which says tax-free on the shop, and then you actually can avail of the discounts and the refunds later.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can also actually download the apps. If you're getting to Singapore and you want to plan your trip ahead of time, then you would actually just download the app and plan your trip and your itinerary accordingly. I would say if you're looking for more information, then go to yoursingapore.com. That's where you would get a lot of the information on Singapore.
Fantastic, yeah. Andrea. You've certainly painted a great picture for us to head over to Singapore with the family and have a great time. We'll see you next week on Travel Mum.
Thanks, Mum.
I'm dragging you back from Singapore to Ras Al Khaimah because we're at the DoubleTree by Hilton Resort and Spa on Marjan Island. If you haven't been out here, you really have to come and check it out. I am having a little love affair with Ras Al Khaimah. Like, I'm planning to come back this weekend, do canyoning. We got a text about canyoning, actually, Mark.
Yeah.
And we got a text from Linda, who said that she nearly drowned once when she was canyoning in Turkey, and she wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, so you need to be with experienced people, for sure.
You do. And yeah. Also, I think what's good about Adventurati is that he has a beginner's group. So you go out with him, and everyone's going really slowly. They're taking their time. It's not about how fast you can do it. It's just about having a good time and being really, really careful.
Yeah.
The spa, people are also texting in about the spa, because I mentioned earlier, one of the nice things about being over here, when I went to the spa, you could actually use a jacuzzi and the sauna and the steam room with your other half. It's okay. Not separate. They do have a ladies area that is separate if you want one, but they have a mixed one as well, which I think is really nice.
Yeah. Great. Okay, we've got lots more, as Steph mentioned there, coming from Ras Al Khaimah, including what has been labelled as the number one attraction here in the Emirate. That's Iceland. We'll have more on that after the news.